From NPR and the Futuro Media Group, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
Every person has like a device in his pocket that plays music. People's consuming more music all day.
Summer is coming, and with it, an all-important task. You gotta pick your summer jams for your playlist. So get into Pachanga mode and join us.
It's musicians, and there's like hipsters, and there's a lot of Latino crowd, and then there's just people that just like to party and have a good time.
This week, we share with you some of our favorite recent music releases and share a cold one with the artists who created them.
Even if it doesn't have a storyline, it really is like a trip.
Let us take you on a musical viaje, a trip to the summer jukebox edition of Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. No se vayan. It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And welcome to our summer jukebox jam. It's all music this week. Now, if you've seen the films Motorcycle Diaries or Brokeback Mountain, you've heard the music of Gustavo Santaolalla. If you've heard Juanes, you've heard the music of Gustavo Santaolalla. And if you've heard Calle 13, well, you get the idea. In addition to working with other musicians and composing prominent film scores, Gustavo Santaolalla has also been working with other Bajo Fondo members on their newest record, Presente. Joining us from Los Angeles to talk about Bajo Fondo's latest creation is the talented Gustavo Santaolalla. Welcome back to Latino USA, Gustavo.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Hi, Maria. Very happy to be here again.
It's great to have you back. This time, talking about this other project of yours, Bajo Fondo. It's a music collective that has been around for a decade, but there might be some of our listeners who are not familiar with it. So how did this collective of Electro Tango, Rio de la Plata, Uruguayo, Argentino collective actually come to be?
Well, the project started by, you know, I connect with Juan Campodónico, who's from Uruguay. I'm from Argentina. And we just, you know, had this idea of trying to fuse elements of our music, the music that is part of El Río de la Plata, tango, milonga, candombe, murga, with elements of electronica and hip-hop and rock and soul and other stuff. But the project really started just the two of us, and it was more like a studio project. The first album, which was called Tango Club. This album, Presente, it's more like a concept album. So even if it doesn't have a storyline, it really is like a trip.
Let's talk a little bit about one of the songs, Código de Barra. It's almost theatrical, of course. Do you think that because you've done so much composing for film, do you think that that comes out in terms of your manifesto of this album?
Yes, I've been told before, you know, that the music that usually I'm involved with, it is visual, but this album in particular is strongly visual. Código de Barra has in the title a play of words, because Código de Barras, you know, it's the barcode.
Oh, it's the barcode!
You know, but also a barra in Argentina and in Uruguay, a barra is like a group of people, a gang, you know, it could be like some soccer fans, they're una barra.
Oh.
And Código de Barra, it's also like, you know, the codes that you have in that group of people, you know?
Oh, I love it.
So it is a play with words, and that's something that we love to do with the band, playing with words, you know?
You actually don't like to call what you do tango. You like to talk about the fact that there's milonga, there's murga, and tango is just a part of it. But some people say, wait a second, it's definitely tango. And you say, no, not so fast.
Well, you know, I know for a fact that what we do is a mixture of lots of things. We don't come from tango. And I think probably 20 years from now, we could perhaps say if what we are doing, it's bringing something to the genre. I think it's too soon and will be too presumptuous to think that we're doing the new tango or something like that. Obviously, I mean, if you want to do music that represents a place like El Río de la Plata, all those things are going to be there because are part of the genetic musical makeup of that place. But so for us, it's 40 years of rock nacional and the Beatles, Radiohead, Chemical Brothers, Atahualpa Yupanqui, everything, Dr. Dre, everything is mixed in our music.
One of my favorite kinds of music is what you have done, Gustavo. And I was on this emotional viaje with you on your album, Presente, but then I got to Pide Piso, and I'm just like, kind of like jumping up around in my desk. I love this song, but I have to ask you, why is it called Pide Piso?
Pide Piso could mean that it's asking for the dance floor, you know, Pide Piso. This tune, you know, is asking to go on the floor and dance. But for us also, in one of our tours, we had somebody that was really, really obnoxious and bothering us backstage. And at a certain point, we do, as you probably heard at the end of the record, we do this kind of soccer chantings, you know, in which we actually dance like if we were in a soccer match.
I love it.
And somehow this guy ended up in the floor. Nobody took responsibility, but Pide Piso, it's a phrase, you know, that we use now when somebody, you know, really annoying comes close to the band or something. We go, oh, this guy's Pide Piso, you know, this guy's like asking for the floor, you know.
We're so happy to have you on Latino USA. Muchas gracias.
Maria, thank you so much, and I'll see you soon.
Gustavo Santaolalla spoke to us from Los Angeles. His new album with his group Bajo Fondo is called Presente. Gustavo Santaolalla had a lot more to say, so for an extended version of our chat, go to our website at latinousa.org. The Venezuelan via New York band Los Amigos Invisibles has been the life of the party for nearly two decades. They've been testing the boundaries of fusion, jazz, and Latino funk while keeping the dance floor jumping since their beginnings. Their 10th album, Repeat After Me, is out now, and joining us to talk about it at the NPR studios in New York is guitarist, singer, DJ Jose Luis Pardo. Welcome to Latino USA, and we hope we got that all right, right? Guitarist, singer, DJ.
Wow, thank you so much, Maria. That was a great intro for this humble band.
Let's talk about your new album. It seems really that you shimmy from the 1970s into the 1980s. There's still some solid funk in there, but there's a lot more synth and there's a lot more in excess dance influence. So talk to me about how you made Repeat After Me.
Well, Repeat After Me is the first album that we actually make while we all are not living in the same city. We all like spread around. We were living in New York, and some of the guys went to Miami. I stayed in New York. The other went to Caracas to live. And it was like an album that curiously happened like really fast in places where, you know, we could record. We had like a spare day after a tour or something, and we'll like get in a studio and do an album. So it was like, it was interesting to do because all the choices and the decisions were made like really fast because we didn't have like all the time in the life to make it. But it came out really good. We're really happy.
It definitely feels happy. I mean, you just listen, you're just like, woo! It's like a big party.
After we finished and we put it all together, we were like, well, the album's like really like up tempo. We didn't thought of that. It was just like, you know, since we were like doing it while we were touring or playing, we probably had some of that adrenaline going on there.
Yeah. So in particular, let's talk about the single La Que Me Gusta, produced by Cachorro López. He's of Caifanes and Paulina Rubio fame. Let's take a listen to that song now. Ay, ay, ay.
We're really big fans of Northern Soul, and from some, we haven't done anything like that before, so that's why we went for it. And also, like when we started like thinking about it, like we realized that Latin America is a very like popular genre as well. I mean, we had like Hombres G, and we had like even Miguel Mateos, all those guys that were like flirting with the Northern Soul and that kind of rhythm. So it felt like very soul, but in another way felt like very pop, Latin pop as well.
What was it like to work with Cachorro López, a.k.a. Gerardo López, who's worked with, you know, with the greats?
He's a genius. I mean, he was behind Mentiras, the single from a previous album that we did. And he's, you know, he's a legend. He's the encounter came because a Venezuelan journalist was he asked Cachorro like what was the band he was missing to work with, and he said Los Amigos. We were like, unbelievable, let's do it. So we did Mentiras, and when we started working on the song, we were like, okay, this needs to be Cachorro, and he's very nice. He made like really good changes to the songs to make it like tighter and more, you know, poppy.
That's definitely the word, poppy. I mean, you know, let's talk about Monstruo, definitely one of the funkiest, perhaps the most unusual track. It felt like I was in a glass of champagne in the 1970s or 80s. Let's take a listen. So talk about making that song. What's the inspiration, and is there a story behind it?
Yeah, Monster was like, it's a funny story because I'm married with my wife, Annabella, and she was like acting really strange in a moment and really angry for everything. And I wrote that song because she was like getting into a room, yelling at me, and blah, blah, blah. I didn't know. And like a week after that, we found out she was pregnant. So that's why she was a monster back then.
That's great. So what do you think is the biggest risk that you took with this album?
The biggest risk? Like, well, there's four songs in English, which, you know, you never know how the Latin crowd that follows Los Amigos are going to take it, because we've been like a really powerful in the Hispanic market about like singing in Spanish and having Spanish as our first language. And that could be a risk, but like there's no, we don't really feel like we're risking much, because we've been pretty much doing whatever we want since day one.
Because you made a decision that you were going to start that way. You were going to build your audience not by getting with a big label, but by playing in bars and communities across several continents. What are your thoughts about the music scene now in terms of Latinos? Is it hopeful? Is it too commercial? Is, you know, what's going on for you as you see it?
I'm always up for the glass like half full, you know. Like I can say that every person has like a device in his pocket that plays music. That's an advantage for musicians. People's consuming more music all day, and the access to music is everywhere. Like the downside of that is like we're still figuring out how to make money out of it. But I'm sure that that'll be figured out. And so I'm very optimistic. And in Latin America, sometimes there's a lot of artists that are under the radar of the pop media doing music because they want to do it, because they're following a passion. So that's amazing. That's evolution, I think.
Well, thank you guys for all the great work that you've been doing and for inspiring so many other musicians. We really appreciate it and we love it.
Oh, thanks to you.
José Luis Pardo is the guitarist and one of the singers of the band Los Amigos Invisibles. He spoke to us from our studios in New York. For a playlist of the songs you just heard, go to latinousa.org. Coming up on Latino USA,
music, which is my main lover, is going to destroy me at some point. Is this going to be a point where I can just take anymore?
Processing decay and endurance. As one of Monterrey, Mexico's few female rappers, Niña Dios tells us all about it. That's coming up. No se vayan. Welcome back to the Summer Jukebox edition of Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Vallenato is roots music from Colombia, a true people's music. It's meant for dancing, storytelling, and just having a great time bailando. One of the foremost vallenato bands in the U.S. is Very Be Careful, based in Los Angeles. The band not only keeps the music thriving, but also finding new life. Julie Kane brings us the next installment in our series on accordion music of the Americas, a series we call Squeeze Play.
Vallenato music just takes you over. It gets you up out of your seat, and you don't even know why.
I've seen many people, like Wallflowers, you know, come to check us out. By the end of the show, they're like front stage.
That's Dante Ruiz. He plays the cowbell for the vallenato band Very Be Careful.
It just has a hook that people can't ignore.
That hook is an offshoot of the cumbia. Vallenato is powered by a drum called a caja, a scraping gourd called a guacharaca, and soaring above it all, the cry of the accordion. Ricardo Guzman is the lead singer and accordion player for Very Be Careful. He says this unlikely infusion of instruments gives the music its appeal.
The caja would be African-based, and then the guacharaca is an indigenous instrument to Colombia. Like, so they're all different. That's why it's cool.
Guzman's parents immigrated to the U.S. from Colombia in the 1960s. They brought their music with them. Guzman and his brother, who plays bass in the band, grew up on a steady diet of vallenato and cumbia records. Guzman's parents even signed him up for accordion lessons when he was a little boy.
But I hated accordion more than anything in the whole world. Because it's, you know, it's considered a nerdy instrument and, you know.
Guzman, with his black handlebar mustache and wide grin, is anything but a nerd. And he and Very Be Careful have been infecting people with the raw vallenato sound for 15 years. Tonight, the band is playing a show in Oakland, California. It's kind of an underground scene. The only way you can tell there's a show here is by a handmade cardboard sign that's taped up to the door of a warehouse. The people who are here are in the know.
It's musicians, and there's hipsters, and there's a Latino crowd, and then there's just people that just like to party and have a good time.
Paul Costuros organized the show. He's on the sidewalk just outside the door.
I tell people when they're not sure who Very Be Careful are that it doesn't matter. If once the second you hear them start, you will just start dancing because it is that good.
We're Very Be Careful from Los Angeles, California. Very happy to be here in Oakland. What's up, Oakland?
Very Be Careful sticks to an older sound that was popular in Colombia in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Last year, they took their traditional sound back to Colombia, its country of origin.
I was really nervous because we were bringing their music to them. So we played and they're like, we never get to hear that old sound. We hear a lot of new versions of that, but nobody does that here. So I was like, oh, cool, you guys liked it. Like, whew.
Judging by the places Very Be Careful has been, the U.S., Europe, Latin America, Japan, a lot of other people like it too. For Latino USA, I'm Julie Kane in Oakland, California.
From Monterrey, the mecca of Mexican hip-hop, comes Niña Dios, the 27-year-old rapper who just released her first full-length album, Indestructible. We could tell you all about her and her eclectic music, but we'll just let her tell you in her own words.
Hey, what's up? My name is Niña Dios. I'm from Monterrey, Mexico, and I'm a female rapper. Niña Dios means female baby Jesus. I like the name. I like the power in the name. I like the fact that I can be my personal Jesus, you know? When I was 17,
I started to work to pay my studio sessions, and I've been very, very independent because my parents wouldn't support me to do what I wanted to do. They want me to go to college. They want me to be a nice Mexican girl. I wanted to get tattoos. I wanted to travel. I wanted to do music. Now we have a very good relationship, and I'm very thankful for them. Indestructible is the name of one of the songs that are in this album, which features Jimena Sariñana. She's a female pop artist. The song talks about the dying relationship, right? So maybe something like a lover or something that is gonna make you stronger, but then you realize that the same thing that used to make you feel stronger also can destroy you. Music, which is my main lover, is gonna destroy me at some point. Is there's gonna be a point where I can just take anymore. But when I reach that point and then I pass that point and I come across that feeling, then that makes me feel indestructible, which is not destructible. I don't know how to say it. Music is going further than a genre. It's just explosive when it's played live. People has fun. People doesn't have to be underground to listen to my music. They can listen to punk, to rock, to electronica, to hip-hop, and they still dig my music, so I think it's more about that.
Hip-hop artist Niña Dios speaking with us at our studios in Harlem. Her album Indestructible is out now. Check out one of her videos on our website, latinousa.org. And for this week, that's our Jukebox Jam Latino USA. If you have any comments, questions, or want to let us know what tunes you've got on heavy rotation this summer, please become our amigos and amigas. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter or on Tumblr. Our program is produced by Carolina Gonzalez, Deborah George, Lita Hartman, Andres Caballero, Daisy Rosario, Diana Montaño, Miguel Simon Johnson, and Michael Jones. Latino USA is produced by The Futuro Media Group in Harlem. The program was founded at the University of Texas at Austin. I'm executive producer Maria Hinojosa, and join me again next week for another edition of NPR's Latino USA.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation and by the Marguerite Casey Foundation, dedicated to achieving a more just and equitable society for all, and the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. Squeeze Play is supported in part by the NALAC Transnational Cultural Remittances, National Association of Latino Arts and Cultures, the Ford Foundation, and Southwest Airlines. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Lumber Liquidators, offering a variety of sustainably harvested flooring, including pre-finished and stained, at 1-800-HARDWOOD, and the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness, on the web at melvilletrust.org, and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, whose commission to build a healthier America works to improve healthcare where Americans live, learn, work, and play. This is NPR.